I'd like to invite you all to join together with me in something we all know how to do very well. Let's do it together. In the name of the Father, say it. In the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's do one more. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Probably most Catholics know those two prayers because they're just very much at kind of the heart of our Catholic faith. And they express in a very concise form the belief we have in the Trinity, the feast we celebrate today, that our God is Father, is Son, is Holy Spirit. Our God is three persons, and yet one God. That is a faith that has been with us from the very beginning. But it took the church 300 years, more or less, to come to a way to express this truth. It was only in the 4th century, the Council of Nicaea, and then a little later, the Council of Chalcedon, that this formula of faith was finally worked out that would express this very important reality that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. Three persons, one God. It's so important, even though we can't comprehend it, and we can't, that we hang on to the truth of this reality. Because if we let go of it, then we're letting go of something that is essential to our faith. And once you let go of a part of the faith, then gradually the rest of it begins to fall apart. And so to hang on to that, that belief, even though it's incomprehensible to us. And it's important that we acknowledge the incomprehensibility of our faith. Because if you and I can understand God, He would no longer be God. We would be greater than God. Because He is greater than us, we cannot understand fully the nature and the reality of God. But that's okay. We don't need to understand it. What we need to do is to accept it and to worship it. I'd like to ask you during Mass, not just today, but anytime you come to Mass, be attentive to the times in the Mass we refer to the three persons of the Trinity. And for instance, like the Eucharistic prayer usually is always addressed to the Father. But the prayer is offered through the Son. It is offered in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And those three persons appear over and over and over again in the prayers we use at every Mass. So just be attentive to that. The Gospel reading today, a very short one, expresses the motivation for why God sent His Son to save us. And that motivation is simply God is love. And because of that love, God desired to give us eternal life, even when we are fully undeserving of that. Now notice, the scripture doesn't say that God loves, but it's God is love. That comes out in the letter of St. John. He says, God is love. Now, let's combine that with another scripture. Go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, if God is love, and if you and I are created in the image of God, then it's saying that love must be part of our lives. Because if we are not loving people, then we are not living in the image of God. And yet we are created with that capacity to be people who love. And unless we are loving, then we are not living up to our calling. And the Gospel of John gives us the model of how we are to love. Jesus says, "As I have loved you, you also must love one another." Now, how did Jesus love us? He loved us to the point of pouring out himself for us, of dying for us, giving of himself fully, totally, completely. Now, that somehow has to be the model of how you and I are to love each other. That total selfless love. That giving of ourselves, even when there's nothing to get back from it. That total gift of self. What are some examples of that? Well, probably the one that stood out for me most as I was thinking about that was the person who changes their life plans to care for an elderly parent or for a sick spouse. Maybe lesser expressions of that are the love of a parent that gets up in the middle of the night to care for a sick child. Or maybe the person who gives of their own money to someone because that someone is in need. All of these things are expressions of selfless love. And you and I are called to that. That selfless love. And yet the reality is, we're not capable of it. Well, we're capable of doing it at times. But on our own, we're never going to be that loving person. It's only when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit that this kind of love can become for us a way of life. And that's what we're called to. Not just to occasionally do something extraordinary, but to begin to make that self-giving love the way we live our lives. That has to be the grace of the Holy Spirit working within us. Now, that grace is available to us all the time. But we have to open our hearts to it. We have to want to become that kind of loving person. We have to want to imitate the love of Jesus Christ. But if we truly want it, then the grace is there for us. And it won't happen overnight. It's a lifetime process. We learn more and more to give of ourselves, to think less of our own needs, our own desires, and begin to think more and more of the needs and the desires of other people. And yet, if we are created in the image of God, and God is love, then that is the calling we have received, to love as Jesus loved, to pour out our lives in the service of others. Trinity Sunday is about the mystery of a God who is one God, who is three persons. It is also about the mystery of a God who is love and who has loved us beyond all imagination. But it's also about our calling to be people who love, truly love one another, are willing to give of ourselves for the sake of others. This is the feast we celebrate today. God of love, who calls us to love.